Our scripture opens today in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born, in Bethlehem of Judea. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Wise men came from the east on seeing a star. There's been a lot of speculation about just what this was that they saw. Some have speculated that it was a supernova. Others, a comet. Still others have said that it was a specially created star that hung low in the horizon. Others, a specially created star that was way off in the heavens. And still others say that it was probably a constellation in a certain pattern with a certain planet in its orbit that indicated to these persons, these foreigners, Gentiles, men of astrology, that something amazing was about to happen. The King of the Jews was to be born. I'm amazed that they were paying attention. I'm amazed that they saw it. I'm amazed that they understood it. I'm amazed that they traveled so far to experience it. But what of where they came to? Jerusalem, the land of God's people, the capital of Israel. And to King Herod, the present King of the Jews. And what of them? Upon hearing what the wise men say, King Herod is frightened. Now, this does actually make some sense. I mean, if you knew who King Herod, you would know that he was not exactly a very good king. He was not particularly a man of integrity. And any threat to his rule was soundly squashed. And certainly their message that a king had been born who would be King of the Jews, would be a threat to his reign. This man had actually put to death three of his sons, his wife, and had a rival of his publicly strangled in a public bath. A little baby born that he had nothing to do with, when he killed his own sons to protect his rule, was not about to stop him. But the fact that all of Jerusalem was frightened with him, does that not seem a bit strange to you? Here is the prophecy. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." We talk about, through the season of Advent, year after year, the sense of anticipation, the sense of expectation, the sense of waiting and wanting and wondering when God will fulfill the promise of sending them the Messiah, the anointed one of God, who would continue David's reign and bring them back to being a great nation and a great people and bring them back into right relationship with God. It amazes me that they had all the prophecies. They had all the knowledge. And they don't seem to even know it's happened. Foreigners have to come tell them. And when they do, it amazes me even more that they are not excited. You would have thought that they would all have been beside themselves with ecstasy. It is here. The time has come. Hear the prophecy we read in the call to worship. "Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen. The darkness is going to be overcome," it says. All the nations are going to be drawn to them. It's going to be a wonderful time. You would think that there would have been a procession from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, with all of Jerusalem following the wise men to get a glimpse at this child of promise, King of the Jews, Son of God. But they stay home. And more than that, they are afraid. Perhaps they had good reason to be. There's a lot of historical things we could talk about for why they would be afraid of somebody saying that a new king, the King of Promise, had been born. But perhaps the reasons were deeper. Perhaps they were spiritual. Because have you ever thought about what it would mean to meet God? There are those who say that in Epiphany, when God is revealed in Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, it is not in a soft whisper, but in a loud shout. In the season of Epiphany, when we look at those stories of Scripture where God is revealed, in high moments, the kingship of Christ revealed in the coming of the wise men. That's the first Sunday of Epiphany Scripture. The next Sunday of Epiphany Scripture is the baptism of Christ. When the heavens open and the dove descends, and the voice proclaims, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the next great moment of Epiphany, the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is up on the mount and he is visited by Moses and Elijah. And it seems that all of history meets on that mountain. And then Jesus heads towards Jerusalem, and we begin the season of Lent. These are radical high moments of revelation, of manifestation, of Epiphany. And I probably should not have entitled my sermon today, "A Glimpse of God," but "God in Your Face." He is here. He has come. And He has made Himself known. And as another pastor, Paul Fisher, puts it, to meet Jesus and to know that He is the Christ means that the rest of our journey will be different. We cannot be the same after we have met the Lord. We cannot be the same after we've met the Lord. In a sense, that's what Epiphany is all about. Epiphany is an intense moment of revelation, kind of a manifestation of thought that's just like the light bulb comes off over your head. It's like a eureka moment. Something that you did not know, you now know fully. Something that you had not comprehended, all of a sudden comes into perspective, comes into focus, comes into place. And the new knowledge is transforming. You will never be the same again. As we celebrate Epiphany, and we think about the weird reaction of those in Jerusalem, perhaps if we were honest with ourselves, we're a little more like them than we'd like to believe. We're the ones who have the story. We're the ones who knows what happens. And yet after Christmas, what do? We pack it all up and put it away. Is our world, is our life going to be different? Because Jesus has come and Jesus is in our life. And Jesus is in our world. Will the rest of the journey be different? Will we truly have allowed ourselves to glimpse God and allowed ourselves to be changed by that revelation that Jesus Christ is indeed God. It'll change everything if we do it. Things we didn't even expect it to change. Perhaps that's what the people in Jerusalem knew. Oh, they'd been waiting. And they thought they wanted it to come. But when the day of arrival happened, perhaps they realized they were a little bit more like their king than they wanted to be. They were a little more invested in the status quo and in the way things had always been. Or maybe they were just very human. And the devil you know is better than the Messiah you don't. As we enter this season of Epiphany, I challenge you to let the curtain come back and let the full revelation of God impact your life. I hope that it will truly be a season of Epiphany for you, where what it means for God to have come in the flesh and dwelt among us and poured out His Spirit on our lives means. And I truly hope it means your life will never be the same again. And like the wise men, we won't even have to be warned in a dream. I mean, there will just never be any going home the same way ever again. I've chosen the last hymn this morning based on the words, because I think it is truly an epiphany kind of hymn. And you'll find it on page 187 in your hymnal.